It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Recently on the program, we've been looking at the word Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel, of course, means God with us. And we know that Jesus Christ came into this world. And as he came into this world, he came as a human being. Well, he came, it was miraculous, and he came into this world not because of a man, not because a man would be his father, his earthly father, but because the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, would be the one who overshadowed Mary, and she would give birth to Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, the Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Well, the name Jesus itself means Jehovah salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation to all of those individuals who will call upon him, to everyone who would trust him as Lord and Savior. Well, the Jews, they were looking for a king right then. Jesus Christ, he came to be their salvation. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And as we keep studying and we look into the Word of God, we find that Jesus Christ was, according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says there, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And we know that one day Jesus Christ will be ruler. He'll no longer be that little baby lying in that manger. He'll be king. He'll be the one who is over this world. He will rule with a rod of iron, according to the word of God. He will be king. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, his conception was a miracle. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused of Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And once again, Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Don't listen to these characters who try to tell you that Mary was just a young girl. Mary was more than just a young girl. She was a virgin who conceived and bare a son. His name was Emmanuel. Well, I've spoken of how there were witnesses to the birth of Christ. Mary and Joseph, of course, were there. In Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, and it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Mary and Joseph were witnesses, of course, and we know that the angels were witnesses. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14 speaks about this, how that they witnessed the birth of Christ. And I just read a verse there that talks about how that the shepherds, it speaks of the shepherds, they were witnesses to the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And we know that these shepherds, they went into that stable and they saw Jesus Christ lying in that manger. And we've spoken of Simeon, the old priest. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32 speaks of this man whom God said, you would not taste death until you see my Holy One, until you see the Son of God. And of course, in verse 28 of Luke chapter 2, it says, then took he him up, this is Simeon taking up the Christ into his arms, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost, every person in this world, if they would simply trust him. I'll notice something else here. Not only did Simeon see Christ, but we also see a person by the name of Anna. She gave witness that Christ had been born. Luke chapter 2, verse 36, it says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher." And then we look at verse 38, and it says, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord." In other words, she was witness to what Simeon was doing there. He was the priest. He was in charge there. And Anna came in, and she saw. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, she became a witness of the birth of Christ. She became a witness telling people how to be saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise man gave witness that Christ had been born. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Wise men were witnesses. And then we keep reading in the Word of God, and we see God the Father gave witness to the birth of Christ at his baptism and at the transfiguration. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom in thee I am well pleased." Well, the transfiguration, we see in Luke 9:35, it says, "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do we need any other witnesses? God himself is enough, but there are many witnesses to the birth of Christ that he was born and he walked this earth. The apostles were witnesses that Christ had been born. Acts chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Jesus Christ came into this world, and there were witnesses who witnessed him being on this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." Don't let anybody ever try to tell you that Jesus Christ was only a rumor of someone that had been born. He was only a figment of someone's imagination. Jesus Christ was seen by people. We see Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle witnessed that Christ had been born. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 8, it says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also," Paul says, "as of one born out of due time." Evidence of Christ's birth was attended to by many into the thousands. 5,000 saw him at one time. Over 5,000, Mark chapter 6 and verse 44, and 4,000 then, Mark chapter 8 and verse 9, and so forth and so on. Well, Mark chapter 6 and verse 44 says, "And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." Mark chapter 8 and verse 9, "And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away." Jesus was seen of man. Jesus, it was proven that he was born. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, notice some prophecies concerning Christ's coming. He would be a righteous branch according to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." Not only would he be a righteous branch, he would be a king. He would have a kingdom. And of course, we know this is future. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Christ's kingdom, never ending. We also see that he would reign on the throne of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 talks about that, and we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." It's going to happen. There's nothing going to stop this. Jesus Christ will be the ruler. He would rule the nations with a rod of iron. Psalm chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Jesus Christ came as that little baby. He was born of a virgin. He was laid in that manger. But when he comes back the second time, he is not going to be that little child. He's going to be the king. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Never again will he be put to death on a cross, because he did that one time. He suffered once for you and I. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that you and I could be saved. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11 says, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." If you've never confessed to God that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you need to do that before it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The book of James says our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It's gone. It's like the fog that is burned off by the sun in the morning. Your life is just a vapor. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now while you still have time. Psalm chapter 53 and verse 4 says, "Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God." Matthew 7:23 says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's those people who do not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you've never trusted him and you stand at the white throne judgment, it's too late to trust him then. But you will bow the knee, and you will confess at that time that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will confess that he's Emmanuel, God with us. You will confess that he is the Savior, but he's not yours. It's too late for you to call upon his name. You will be cast into the lake of fire. Why not trust him today as your Lord and Savior? You can't save yourself. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Call upon him today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.